give us that grace and mercy that we needed. You know, you're like me. You didn't deserve it, but you got it. Amen? Just simply because of who He is, not because of who you are. Amen? You know, there's people in this world, they get by and they
do and they can circumvent some things, and sometimes it's because of who they are, how they're well connected, and how who they know, I guess. But hey, listen, most of us are just nobodies, but thank God I'm glad I know somebody that can save anybody. Amen? So aren't y'all glad of that? Amen. Well, take your Bible tonight. Look with me, if you will, in the Gospel of Mark. Look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. Mark, chapter number 2. I know we kind of bounced back there again. We had a great time when we studied the entire book of Mark. And, you know, it's kind of like this, though. I can go back and see things and even look at some old notes that we studied on and look at the same thing again. And, you know, there's just something new there. There's something fresh, something different that is there for us. So I want you to look here in Mark, chapter number 2, and begin with me there in verse number 1. Verse number 1. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum. And that he that we're talking about is Jesus. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And got on the wrong page. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us and all of your blessings. And I pray now, Lord, you just be a real blessing to our hearts tonight to hear and to take in the Word of God and let it do something. Let it be as that seed planted in the good ground, that it bring forth the fruit, that it do something in our lives to make us more like you and to produce the joy, the love, the goodness, the faithfulness, all of those things that you work in our lives. Would you continue to do that? Draw us close to you. Make us more like you. And we'll just thank you. I pray again, save the lost. Speak to that that needs you tonight. We'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at that little last little verse in there, last little part of the verse. And immediately he arose. The man that was sick, he arose and he took up the bed and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Jesus is doing what he's doing out here in front of everybody. And when they all saw it, they were amazed. And when they saw it, they said this. They glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen? And you know what? I think that as far as that truth goes, I mean, you kind of got to let that soak in. It's kind of like we say today, I ain't never seen that before. Amen? That's not good English, but that's what we say, right? And it means the same thing. There are some things that these folks saw. There are some things that they got to be witnesses of that no one had seen before. And aren't you glad the Lord still does things today that you could just stand back and say, man, we ain't never seen it like that. Amen? I mean, when we get into the church services and the times of worship of the Lord. When we get into that, I mean, man, it just amazes me at what all God does and how He does it sometimes. You know, I'm just dumbfounded me. I'm just like, hey, I can't believe what the Lord just did. I just cannot. It just takes my mind and just kind of boom, just blows it on how the Lord does what He does. But I want you to notice a few things tonight. We're going to talk about that and make that, I guess, our title tonight. We never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen it this way before. Amen? So let's look at that. First of all, I want you to notice in this chapter as it begins, I want you to notice the frenzy that there is about Jesus. I mean, there is a stirring and a buzz and the Bible says it was noise that He was in the house. There's something going on when Jesus shows up the way that He did. Let me just tell you this. I think you see the stirring of this crowd. I mean, when you look at it and notice what it says. And again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. The crowd gets stirred. When they know that Jesus is around, it begins to stir a crowd. I mean, all I can make of that is this fact right here. Folks are out there and Jesus comes into town. Here He comes into, and there's some of them that said, hey, that Jesus fella, you remember that preacher? We've seen him and he done these miracles and he healed this person. He did this. Hey, he's back in town. And everybody begins to gather. Everybody is stirred up. I mean, everybody wants to see what this guy's going to do next. And you know, I think sometimes churches are that way. I believe sometimes people go to church because they know there's something going on down at that church. And it's not just that it's that church. It better be that the Lord is doing something at that church. That's what we want, isn't it? I mean, it's not that, you know, the people are doing something. Because you can go to a lot of churches where people are doing things and where activities are going on and where maybe a circus is being had, if you would. But, brother, the best thing is when the Lord shows up. Amen? It says here that they came. He comes back into town. He's been in town. He goes out, comes back, and it was noise that he was in the house. And that's what it says in verse 2. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now, it appears that he's at somebody's house. And the scholars say more than likely, this was Peter's house that he went to. And it doesn't matter whoever it was. It was probably a rather modest home. But, brother, I want to tell you something. A crowd got together. A crowd got together. I mean, when Jesus shows up, they'll always, when things really get stirred, there's a crowd that wants to come. I mean, they want to see what's going on. And aren't we all that way? I mean, you know, you talk about the classic type of that with you hear a fire engine go by. There's a lot of folks begin to open their windows and they begin to open their doors and they look out and wonder, you know, where's the fire? What's the action? I mean, sometimes people get in their car and they'll drive over to see what's going on, right? And that's the way that it is. Things like that are going on and people begin to talk about it, it will draw a big crowd. It'll draw a bunch. Now, just because you got a big crowd doesn't always mean that every one of them are part of the body of Christ that's going on. Sometimes people just want to come, as I say, to see what's going on. And there's a frenzy that does ensue. I mean, listen, I'm here. I'm ready for a crowd to come. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt my heart at all if we got a crowd in this church and they were a lot of them was lost sinners because they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, they need to hear about Him. But you see that this crowd is stirred. There's a stirring of a crowd. But not only do you see the stirring of the crowd, look down at verse number 6. And it says this, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there. When they seen everything that was going on, when they realized, you know, what Jesus had done, here's a crowd of the scribes, the religious folks of that day, And they're sitting there, and it said they're reasoning in their heart. Hearing Jesus preach, seeing Jesus heal and do what He does, and then this man particularly that is the center of this this episode or this chapter, this man that gets healed that's on the sick bed, as they see him, then Jesus looks at him and says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And it says there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they were reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" You see, not only do you see the crowd, the stirring of the crowd, but you see the suspicion of the critics. Anytime you get folks together and the Lord shows up to do something, you're going to have those that don't mind being critical. I mean, you're going to have critics. I don't care what's going on. Somebody, that really didn't happen. Oh, they're not really saved. Oh, they're not really having a good church. Oh, that's a bunch of put on. You know, there's always somebody there to do it. And look at this. While it's here in this scripture that we're reading, it is the religious crowd that winds up being the critics. Isn't that amazing? I mean, people that, as a matter of fact, they do know their Bible, don't they? I mean, really, in essence, they do know the Scriptures. Because they say, at the very bottom, who can forgive sins but God only? They are right. Nobody can forgive sins but God only. They just don't know that they're in the presence of the Savior of the world. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to have it. They're not going to be in favor of it. Man, all they want to do is sit back, cross their arms, and be critical. Amen? I mean, they just sit there and they say, "Well, you know, that's what they think. That's why, who can do it? Why, he's not what he says he is." Amen? And I'm sure there's people like that, as I say, in every church, in every meeting, in everything that you and I get into, we see that same kind of thing. Amen? So, you've got the frenzy of this crowd. But not only that, I want you to see the friends that are able to get one to Jesus. The friends that are right. Look what it says there in verse number 3. It said, "And they come to him." Man, I want to tell you something. We don't know who they are, but I'm thanking God for them, right? "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Amen? I've told y'all this before. That's the eight-legged care bear. Amen? And you think about that a few minutes, you'll get it. There's eight legs that are carrying, that are bearing this guy, if you will, and they care about him. There's eight legs that are four men toting this guy around, and they're bringing him to Jesus. And it says, "And they when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Man, I want you to see, those are some real friends, aren't they? Amen? I heard a fella preach a message one time. He said, "I'm going to preach on the fella on the back left corner." And I thought, what in the world is this? Amen? Well, it would have worked for any one of those fellas. But what I'm saying is this. Man, somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to care about somebody. That's a real friend when a friend is there offering to help others. Amen. That's a real friend. When you want to offer to help somebody out, when you want to offer to get them to Jesus, when you want to bring them to a place where you know they can get some help, thank God, that's what friends are all about. Could you imagine these men? They've got their friend here and he's sick. He's been in this case, we don't know how long. He's been sick. He's bedridden. He's probably getting near the point of death. Now, palsy, in this idea, is more about maybe a heart condition and a fluid around the heart. And he's not able to walk and he gets very tired. And that's what the theologians say that this man's problem was. Maybe the fact that he was shaky and unable to walk. Whatever it was, they got him. And they got together and they said, "Hey, we heard Jesus is over there, and we believe that Jesus can take care of our friend's problem." Can I tell you, you'll be a real friend when you tell somebody, "Hey, let me get you to Jesus. He can help you in your problem." Amen? He can help you in your problem. He can take care of whatever is going on in your life. Amen? And I'm so thankful that he can. And I'm glad that this man had four friends that said, let's get him to Jesus. I mean, if it takes getting others together, I mean, hey, you and I ought to offer to help somebody else, and let's get them to Jesus. Let's get them to Jesus. But not only do you see that these friends are offering to help another, I want you to notice that there were some obstacles that they had to overcome. Amen? They had some obstacles. What was that? When they got up to the door, or they couldn't even get to the door, the crowd was so massive, they couldn't get through it. There were so many people. They said, if we can just get him to Jesus. And you know what the devil said? Well, here's an obstacle. I'm going to put something in your way. And you know what they did? Devil, don't worry. We'll overcome the obstacle. You know what they did? They climbed up on the top of the house. They pulled back that roofing, whatever it was. It was probably, you know, stuff overlaid each other, however that they made them that day. But they tore the roof off and they lowered that fella down in before Jesus. They said, if we can just get him to Jesus. Amen. I mean, sometimes you've got to overcome some obstacles. Sometimes it may be difficult to get somebody to Jesus. Sometimes it may be, you know, a tough thing. It may be stuff in your way. It may be that it is just a hard situation. But thank God, keep on working, keep on thinking, and God will make a way for you to get somebody before Jesus. Amen? I believe that's what we need to do. So you see here the friends that were able to get this one man that needed him to Jesus. But I want you to notice this. Notice not only the frenzy crowd and the friends that bring this man, but I want you to notice the faith that is seen before Jesus. The faith that is seen before Jesus. Look what it says. Verse number 5. I want you to read this with me. And when Jesus saw their faith. Is that what your Bible says? Nod your head like this. Yeah, mine says that. Okay. When he saw their faith, it doesn't say when he saw that man's faith. It doesn't say that when Jesus put forth his faith. No. It says when he saw their faith. Did you realize sometimes it takes your faith for you believing along with somebody else? Now, I believe this was these four guys plus the one that's there on the stretcher. I believe all five of them had faith. I believe they'd talked to this fellow enough and said, hey, if we can get you to Jesus, he can do something for your life. I believe they began to say, hey, we've seen him out here, and there was a blind man, and he healed his, and he's seeing again. There was a man over here that was deaf, and Jesus has touched his ear, and he's able to hear again. We've seen a guy that was unable to even get up and move around. He touched him. He can do something for you. We've got faith in him. Amen? I'm going to tell you that it's important for me and you to have our faith in Christ. I mean, there's a lot of other, I've seen people out there before say, well, you know, so-and-so needs to go to church. Well, what about you? Amen? I mean, well, you know, I know if they go down to church, the Lord could probably help. Well, what about you? Amen? Get yourself straightened out, have faith with Him, and ask God to do something for Him yourself. Amen? I mean, we're good, you know, parents a lot of times are good at that. Well, you get them sometimes. Preacher, I want to send my kids to church. Why don't you come with them? Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm just telling you, sometimes we try to put it off and push it off and get it some other way. It takes everybody having that measure of faith. Can you imagine them fellas? I mean, there's four of them. And they're walking their way down those old dusty Jerusalem roads or the Capernaum road. They're walking down there. And one of them got a hold of it over here. Another got a hold of it over here. All four, they're walking down there. They said, we're taking you to Jesus. I mean, they're over there saying, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He can do something for you. Amen. I mean, they had their faith anchored in what they knew that Jesus could do. And I believe they got talking to this old boy enough. He said, you know what? I think he can. I believe he can. If y'all can just get me to him, I believe he will. Amen. So they're there, and here's the obstacle before them. and they have to overcome the crowd. They have to overcome the press. They have to overcome everything about. But they get up on the roof, and they said, "Hey, whoever, if his name's Joe on the stretcher, we're going to call him Joe. Joe, we can't come with you, but we're going to get you to Jesus." Amen? Do you know that's the way it is in somebody getting saved? I can't do it for them, but I can get them to Jesus. I can just get as close as I can get, but if I can just get them to get to Jesus, that's what's going to make the difference. And boy, their faith, plus this man's faith, it says when Jesus saw what? Their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, that he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." You see the faith that there is there before Jesus. First of all, there was some faith for that man to be forgiven of his sins. Amen? Do you notice in this miracle, the first thing Jesus does is he forgives this man of his sins. Now, I know we kind of center our attention on the fact of him being bedridden, not able to move, you know, all of that. But can I tell you, the most important need is what Jesus took care of first. He needed to be saved from his sins. Your sins be forgiven you. You remember the little lady that was caught in the act of adultery? What did Jesus tell her? He said, "Where are those thine accusers?" She said, "Is any man accused?" "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Your sins are gone. Now you go and sin no more. It's not the fact of the very action that's going on at the center of what we think. But thank God the first thing he wants to take care of is somebody's sin. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the most important thing anyway, is to get your sins under the blood of Jesus. So you see, there was faith. There was faith. Could you imagine, you ever see anybody like that got saved? There was an older fellow out on Sand Mountain, and I mean, I don't know how old he was. Doc Moats was his name. And he was an older guy. He got saved at church. And man, we'd prayed for him. We'd talked to him. And he was an older guy. And boy, I'm honest with you, I thought he was going to die. And he got pretty sick. And he got saved finally. And he called me one day and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I want to be baptized." And I said, "Doc, you're in bad shape." He was dying. He was really in bad shape. He said, "Tell you what I want you to do. Come down to the house and baptize me in the bathtub." I said, "In the bathtub?" He said, "Does it matter?" I said, "Well, no, not really. If you're in a creek or if you're in a baptistry," I said, "bathtub worked just fine." Amen? Hey, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter about some of those things. What you've got to get your sins taken care of. Amen? I mean, hey, some of this other stuff that we all get kind of, as I say, centered up on and worried about, we don't need to be there. Amen? I'm thankful, praise God, that the Lord can deal with the important matters first. Your sins need to be forgiven. That's what Jesus told him. He said, look, there was faith for his sins to be forgiven, and there was also faith for that man's sickness to flee. You see where we read and said there's those that were the critics, and they said, "Well, who can ever, nobody forgive sin but God only." And Jesus looked at him and he said in verse number 9, "Well, is it easier, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed'?" Well, which one of those is easier to say? Well, he can say either one of them. They both sound pretty impossible, don't they? Both of those things sound pretty impossible. And especially to that religious crowd in that day, they had a great amount of doubt in their heart that Jesus could forgive this man's sin. He said, "Well, which one of those things is easier?" He said, "Just so you'll know. Just so you'll be sure. Just so you'll have an account that this faith works." He says that he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all. Amen. Now, he says, which one of them is easier to believe? Amen. Woo! Hey, he was able to forgive that man of his sin, and he was able to make that sickness flee on its way. Amen? I mean, that's what the Lord can do. Let me tell you this. The Lord doesn't always choose to heal every person as far as physically heal them. You know why? Because we live in the day of grace, and the important thing is salvation. In this day, Jesus has come to the people of Israel, and he's putting himself forth as the very Son of God. And as he's doing that, he's trying to show, and it's almost like he has to prove to them, and he does it through miraculous deeds. And that's the part of that that, you know, sometimes me and you don't even understand. But I'm telling you, Jesus had that kind of power, okay? So, you see the faith that these all had before Jesus. Now, I want you to look at this, the finality of this story that is before Jesus. I want you to notice just some of the final things here. First of all, I want you to notice that they said, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen it. Let's talk about some of the things that they did see that they'd never seen before. First of all, these folks had never seen the miracle performed that they saw this day. I mean, these folks had been living in the land here for years. A lot of them were, you know, aged and on up in their years. And we don't know how old this guy is. But they'd never seen anything like this before. They'd never seen miracles performed in their presence. And can I tell you, every time you look and you see what Jesus did, as I said, he's doing this as a sign. He's doing this as a showing that he is the very Son of God. He's doing this to prove to them who he is. But they'd never seen it before. Can I tell you, their religion had never done it before. If their religion was so great, if their religion was what it was supposed to be, if their religion was really following God, why wasn't some of that bunch doing it? Amen? I mean, you know what I'd like to do sometimes? I'd like to take the Benny Hinn crowd and challenge them. Let's go down to the children's hospital and you walk up and down them halls and you clear them rooms out. Amen? I mean, if you got it, you got it, right? Well, that ain't the way. Yeah, that's a bunch of hogwash. Can I tell you, you see how it works here? Jesus said it, and brother, it happened. Amen. In every instant, well, I can't do it. No, you can't do it. I can't do that. Nobody that I know, the only one that can do it is when it's from the Lord himself. Amen. And he's still able. These people have never seen these miracles before. They'd never seen that kind of thing happen. I mean, there they were, man. The crowd was around. The crowd was big. The crowd was, you know, just in awe of what was going on. And rightfully so, because here's the God of heaven come down in the flesh and standing there before them. And he is speaking to this man that hasn't walked, that's had this disease, that has been bedridden. And thank God all of a sudden he's up on his feet going around. Amen. I want you to notice something. When you look at some of these verses in here, you'll see that it's talking about... Look in verse number 11, just for an example. I say unto this, as Jesus is talking, arise and take up thy bed. Okay? I mean, this guy... And in verse number 9, Jesus says, easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and take up thy bed and walk. I just want you to understand that the Lord, to me, points out, this is his bed. This is his bed. He's been in this bed, his bed, and it's his bed. He's identified with his bed. You know how some people get identified with their sins? Oh, Joe over here, well, he's drunk, you know. Oh, so-and-so, he's the gambler, he's the thief, he's the liar. You know, they get identified with your sins, with your problems. This guy, well, that's your bed. I mean, that's your sick bed. But don't you notice when this thing's over, look what it says in verse number 12. And immediately he arose and he took up what? The bed. It wasn't his anymore. Woo! Hallelujah. He wasn't chained to it. He wasn't just put in it. He wasn't having to live in it. Thank God it's just a bed. Then. It wasn't just for him. It could have been for anybody. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, it was a miraculous thing that these people saw, and they had never seen anything like that before. Because you hear it right from the crowd. It said, when insomuch that they were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Why could you scribes and Pharisees not do this? Because we ain't got it, is what they'd have to answer. Amen? So they'd never seen a miracle performed like this. Second, let me tell you this. They'd never heard a message preached like this before. Amen? I mean, they wasn't running down to the local synagogue to hear the local fella down there doing the preaching. I mean, they read the scriptures every Sabbath day. They got up and they said stuff and they'd never heard anybody preach like this guy preached. Matter of fact, one time they sent out officers from the temple to arrest Jesus, and they went down and they heard him, and they come back and they didn't have Jesus. And their superior said, Why didn't y'all arrest him? Why didn't you bring him here? And they said, never man spake like this man spake. We ain't never heard that kind of preaching before. Can I tell you, we need to hear that kind of preaching today that we ain't never heard. We need to call sin, sin. We need to talk about heaven sweet, hell hot, sin black. Buddy, we need to preach the preaching today. I believe Jesus just preached the Word of God to them. Amen. And He put it down there where they can understand it. You know, Brother Ronnie's been going through in our class some of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And those things generally come in the position of parables. And Jesus would tell, and the people were just absolutely stunned when they heard the preaching of Jesus as He laid out these parables, and they would hear them because they could understand what the Word of God was about. They could understand what He was saying. And they got more insight than they got from down there at their religious meetings. Amen? So never man preached. They've never heard a message preached like this man has preached. They'd never seen a miracle before. They'd never seen a message that was preached like they had. They'd never seen a man with this kind of power. It says that Jesus just looked at that guy and He said, take up your bed and walk. Now, I want you to know something. There's no hocus pocus. Amen? I mean, Jesus is not playing lights and mirrors. He's not, you know, you've seen people, you know, when we was kids, we was all fascinated to see a magician, right? Amen? Shake your head. We was fascinated. Some of y'all might be magicians. I don't know. But do you know what that really has transformed through the years? What they say nowadays, they're not magicians necessarily. They call themselves illusionists. Because it's all an illusion. There is no man. I mean, I love that stuff, don't y'all? I mean, I love to see them saw people in half. Come on, amen, y'all. Y'all like it too. But that woman in that box saw her in half. Woo, hallelujah. How'd he do that? I put him in that guillotine, cut her head off. I mean, they do all that kind of stuff, right? And you're going, wow. I mean, David Copperfield moved the Statue of Liberty. Wow. How'd he do that? I mean, it's all an illusion. And there are people that are good at making you think you saw something when you really didn't see it. Right? But I'm telling you, when Jesus did it, it wasn't a trick. It wasn't an illusion. It was the real thing. When Jesus healed this man, let me tell you, he'd really been sick for years and years and years. And now he was absolutely healed of what was wrong with him. Amen? I mean, you remember the story of the little lady that had the issue of blood? The Bible said she'd been in that state for 12 years. That she'd seen every doctor and she didn't grow any better, but rather worse. But when she came to Jesus, she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she touched him, and Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Lord, there's a crowd. What do you mean, who touched me? And finally, that woman came forth. She said, it was me. He said, daughter, he said, you're made whole from this. And mother, I'm telling you, the Bible said immediately when she touched him, that issue of her blood staunched. It stopped immediately, and she was made whole. That wasn't no smoke and mirrors. That was the miraculous power of God. What I'm telling you is, they'd never seen a man with that kind of power before. As I said, they had a temple full of rabbis. I mean, they had a Sanhedrin full of learned Bible scholars, supposed, but they'd never seen anybody with that kind of power. Amen? And I'm telling you, you and I need to come to Him. He's the only one that possesses the real power of God. The only one that's got the real power. They'd never seen that before. They'd never seen a miracle that was performed. They'd never seen a man with that power. They'd never heard a message that was preached like that. They'd never seen the moving proof that they saw that day. I mean, here's a crowd. They're looking. Can you imagine? It's like a spotlight right there. They've torn this roof off, and if you could do it for theatrical sake, a light is shining down from where that roof is tore off. Here's this man on his bed, and here he is, the center of attention. Everybody's looking at him, and Jesus says, "Take up your bed and walk." And you know what he does? Well, it says it right here. And immediately he arose, and he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all. You know what I think that means? That little old feller got up off of that thing. He jumped up off that dirt. He picked that thing up. He tucked it under his arm. And he said, "Y'all clear a path. I'm coming through." And he went through the whole crowd. Amen. Woo! Hey, they'd never seen any moving proof like that. I mean, they'd never seen anything like that. Wow, isn't that wonderful? I mean, there he is moving right through that crowd. And you know, there's people say, "Hey, I know him. That guy's been like that for years. What happened? How that?" What? You know, they were just mystified. They were stymied. They were amazed. Why? Because I'm telling you, it's the wonderful power of God. And can I tell you, that's the same kind of power that saved you and me. It brought us from the gates of hell into a place of deliverance and heaven. Hallelujah. For the name of Jesus. Amen. So they'd never seen anything like this. They'd never seen anything. One more thing. They'd never seen anybody have a mastery over the political and the religious crowd like they saw out of Jesus. They'd never seen anybody that had mastered the art of putting that bunch in their place. Do you see that? It says when these folks sat there and said, certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he looks at them, and they ain't even said a word, but he can tell by, he just understands their hearts. He said, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Why? He said, "Let me put you fellas in your place." He said, "Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk?" And he said, just so you'll know, he looked at that fellow and said, "Take up your bed and go your way." And he did. Nobody had ever put that crowd in their place. You remember what Jesus says to them? Jesus says to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, all that whole religious bunch, he said, "You have weighted down these people with burdens that are so heavy, and you won't even put one finger forth to help lift them off. All you've done is weigh them down. All you've done is load them up. All you've done is burden them and not done anything to help. But aren't you glad help is there that day through the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?" And all they can do is go away shaking their heads and say, "We ain't never seen it like this before." Amen? We've never seen it. As a matter of fact, in the book of Luke, you've got the same basic account of this thing. At the last thing where it talks about the people being amazed, that the people say, "We have seen strange things today." Amen? It seems strange. It seemed unusual. It seemed amazing. And I'm sure that it was. But man, aren't you glad? Let me tell you, you've seen something more miraculous than this right here. You've seen some of the same thing. When Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." That's a miracle from heaven of God. When Jesus forgave you of your sins, you've seen a miraculous thing. Has He forgiven you today?
Has He forgiven you of your sin? Have you trusted Him? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song. As we get ready to sing, maybe there's something in your heart and your life.